Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. We are coming to you from the campus of Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. This show is a convergence of mass media and laser loot air student radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm accompanied today by Kellen Westring. Kellen, how are you doing?
Christian, I'm doing well. Gosh, I love radio. You know, the quote of the week this week from Babe Ruth, which is a great segue into one of our later segments today. Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. So I'm going to get right into my opening rant this morning. Mark Sanchez, or Mark Sanchez as he likes to be called, had a press conference earlier this week, and he went on to explain how the fact that he's single will help him win the starting job. He believes he'll be more focused, he won't have any distractions. Now, let me ask you this. When Tony Romo, when did he get less erratic? When he got married. Remember the first 7 years of his career? Great talent, but erratic. Got married, funny. Best years of his career. Jay Cutler, when did he start to stay out of the news? When he got married. Look at Big Ben for Pittsburgh. Settled down, started to play a little bit better. You're in a relationship, you're more dependable. I believe my parents are better coaches, teachers, and mentors because they're in a stable relationship. They've learned humility, they've learned to sacrifice, they learn to be in a better relationship, better teammates. The quarterback position is 7 days a week, Christian, film study, and meetings. There's enormous amounts of pressure. The world's on your shoulders, and you go home to a cat? A puppy? You don't have anybody to elevate you or collaborate with. Who do you talk to? Now, Tom Brady was really, really good in his early years, but he was carried by mostly great defenses. Now he's in a relationship, and now, in my opinion, he's the greatest quarterback in the league and has been for the last 5 years. Since he's been in a relationship. When you're the quarterback, you're a leader of men. You can't have tunnel vision. I believe being in a relationship at the professional level, Christian, can really help ground you.
That is so much deeper than I anticipated going on this open of this show. But you know what? I appreciated it. You had great points, great takes. It's good stuff, Kellen.
I got to bring it early, Christian. Now, yeah, Christian, how's your week been?
It's been a fun week for myself. You know, Monday and Tuesday, had a couple tests, got through those. Good times. I helped coach a baseball team, and our game started this week. We had one on Tuesday. We have another one tonight. My girlfriend, Mackenzie, took a week off from work, school, anything, for the first time in like 3 years.
Right.
She is a hairstylist. She's moving to a new salon in downtown Tacoma. So you plug Frank's Donuts. I plug my girlfriend's work.
There you go.
She starts at Salon 1121 next Monday. She's offering a 25% discount for students. So you go in there, you show your loot card, 25% off a haircut.
Wow.
I know, that's a good
deal.
Now
I'm picky when it comes to haircuts, Christian. So, I mean, if I like her, that's a big deal.
Well, you should, because you could check out her work. It's at on Instagram, MTV Hair Artistry.
Okay.
Check that stuff out. She starts there on Monday, so get in there and get a haircut. Also, Mackenzie's brother and his wife had a baby last night. William George Parker is not a part of this world as of yesterday, so life's good for me.
That's a big time, Christian. Congratulations to the Parker family. Folks, I want to remind those of you who are listening that most of the stories we'll be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call in the show at any time. The number to call again is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. Aaron's in studio, folks. Aaron, welcome to Mass Radio. How are you?
Thanks, Kellen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're glad to have you in studio today.
Glad to be here.
Now, Aaron, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background, how you ended up here at Pacific Lutheran University.
Well, I'm the head athletic trainer here at PLU. This is my fourth year here. Kind of moved around a little bit through my career, started off. I grew up in the East Coast in New York. Moved, went to school in Michigan. I kind of wanted to get away. You know, kind of the decision I made. I wanted to move around, enjoy life, see a little bit. Went to Michigan, got to Western Michigan University, got a degree in athletic training. Moved down to Oklahoma for 2 years of grad school. Worked at a Division II college there. Decided wanted to move back a little closer to friends for a little while. Moved, took a job in Michigan, working with an independent baseball team there. Then kind of had a lucky break, was able to find a job at a D3 school in Michigan. I hadn't worked in Division III, wasn't really interested in that at the time. Was there kind of as an interim basis. Went through a semester and decided, really liked the environment of Division III. stayed there for 5 years and just kind of got to a point where I felt it was time to move on and saw, you know, wrote out a list of cities I wanted to move to, places I wanted to be. Seattle, I'd never been here, but said, you know, it looks like a fun place to be. I've heard a lot of good things. A lot of friends have said they loved it there. So saw the job out here, took a chance, and decided to move across the country.
That's very interesting stuff there, Aaron. Say you've been here now for 4 years. You mentioned that you really like the environment of, you know, the D3 environment. Can you tell us, you know, what's your favorite part about being the head athletic trainer here at Pacific Lutheran University?
I think just I enjoy the big thing about D3, I enjoy the atmosphere. You don't have the egos. You don't have, you know, some of that, you know, I want to go pro. You know, there's a lot of talk right now with, you know, the NCAA tournament with Ben Simmons and how you look at some of these players that they're going to college and they want to, their main goal is, you know, just, you know, I'm going to college because I have to. I want to make millions of dollars and go on. You know, I think it's a lot more fun working with athletes who are interested in, you know, getting their education, being, you know, being a good person, and, you know, it's not all about themselves. You know, Division I, you're not going to see a lot of the, you know, the community outreach, or if they are, it's entirely for publicity. It's not to gain, you know, to become humble. It's because they're told they have to. I think I definitely enjoy the fact that students here they're coming here for school. They enjoy sports. I've always been a fan of sports. I've played sports my whole life. I love to be around it, and I think just the D3 environment, it gives you that ability to be around good people who are enjoying having fun playing sports, but, you know, it's not their only thing, which a lot of what you see in Division I is football, you know, football player, basketball players, all they have. You know, I don't want to, you know, throw under the bus. You know, look at a lot of the other sports, the swimmers, soccer players, you know, other athletes at Division I. A lot of them are great players. There's some great people at the Division I level. You know, one of the best I've ever met was Greg Jennings. Worked with him when he was from his freshman year on as a Western Michigan student athlete. Great character, great individual. So there are some great players at Division I. But I just really like at the D3 level, the students wanting to be students and, you know, be good citizens, good people.
That's good stuff there, Aaron. Aaron, obviously we know that you enjoy overseeing all the sports that you oversee. It's kind of a tough question, but if you had to pin it down, what is your favorite sport to oversee and why?
I think I've always enjoyed when I was a kid, I hated baseball. When I started working, I loved baseball. I think that was one. For a while, I actually was debating on going in, trying to get a job working with minor league baseball. When I was an undergrad, I did an internship with West Michigan Whitecaps, who was a low-A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Kind of really enjoyed working with baseball. You know what? I love competition. I love games. I'm still competitive. I play in an adult hockey league now. I want to be around competition and games. And games are more fun. Baseball, you start getting, you know, into the major league, minor league level, you play games every day. You know, that's more the fun part, you know. There's some enjoyment to practice.
But 162 of them.
There are quite a few. Plus you add the 60 spring training games. So they have always working. I've just enjoyed baseball. You know, it's games every day. There's always the excitement. You know, you don't have to wait three, four, five, six days. You know, if you have a bad day, you know, you get to go back out and watch another one tomorrow.
Mm. You've worked Division II level. You've worked here at the Division III level. One of the differences I think that there would be facilities. Is that a fair assumption?
To some extent. I think Division I, generally, you're going to get some better facilities. Depending where you are, there are some, you know, some of the smaller D1s are not going to have the facilities, you know, that you would expect. Start getting into the major universities. You know, I had the opportunity when I was at Western Michigan, the year that I worked with the football team. We played at Purdue and at University of Michigan. So, you know, got to see, you know, at the big house, 109,000 fans there. You know, then you come down, you know, you go down to another school. You know, we go to Ball State, Ball State, Toledo, they average, you know, that same season, they might be averaging about 3,000 students. So, you know, there might be games where, you know, we go down to Linfield with the football team, we'll have more students. You know, we go over to Spark Stadium, we have more students than some of those the smaller D1 games.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in grad school, Division II, you know, I think there was, you know, we'd go to some game. You know, we'd have some games down in Texas. There would be 15,000-20,000 fans at the game. You know, we made a conscious choice there. We were right between Stillwater and Oklahoma State and Norman, Oklahoma, and University of Oklahoma. And we basically said, we're going to play all of our games at night because we can't compete, so that would help us get a little bit. But, You know, you see the, you hear about some of the things of, you know, high school football down in the South. Our facility was the home field for three Edmond high schools, and they would outsell us for every game. So, you know, I think, you know, it depends on kind of where the school is, where you are. You can get some great facilities and great fans at the D3 level. I think it just kind of depends. You know, the top end D1 schools, Oregon, Washington, some of the Pac-10s, they're going to have facilities that are just, yeah, that are quite incredible.
Yeah. You know, Aaron, we know you're a busy guy. You know, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in the training room, have gotten to know you pretty well, and have been able to kind of ask you about your schedule at times. And, I mean, sometimes you're here, especially during the football season, you get here at 9. Sometimes you don't leave till 11, you know, because of the late-night football practices. Then you go to Applebee's, you'll get the half-price apps. But, you know, talk a little bit about what you do in your spare time. You talked about hockey. Talk a little bit about, you know, your hockey exploits.
I grew up, it's kind of a weird one out here playing hockey. I grew up in New York where, you know, we had ice, we had snow, you could play. So I think that was one thing I really missed when I was in Michigan, is I just missed kind of having that competitive nature. I hadn't really done anything competition-wise in a while. So I kind of made the conscious choice when I moved out here. That was going to be one thing I was going to add, is I wanted to get into competition. I said I'm either playing hockey or soccer. Soccer was the other sport I really enjoyed playing as a kid. Also enjoyed skiing. You know, the problem is skiing there, I can go 15 minutes and get to a real nice hill. Here, it's quite a ways to get anywhere or to get someplace here. But when I came out, I said I wanted to get competitive again, play soccer, hockey. I had a Penske truck that I loaded all my stuff in and drove out here with, and I was dropping the truck back off up in Tacoma. As I was driving to drop the truck off about a block away, I saw Puget Sound Hockey Center. So I kind of said, well, I guess that makes my decision for me. Stopped back into the, on the way back after I dropped my truck off, pulled my car off the back of it, drove over, went up to the office and asked if anyone was looking for a team, and got a call the next day to join a team. So it's been, I think, a great experience. I've enjoyed it. You know, miss some games for different travels or competitions we have, but you know, it's fun to just to stay in that competitive nature.
That's very cool. I'm on the outside looking in as far as POU athletics is concerned. So this is like the first time we've had, you know, we've spoken to each other. We know football is a heavy contact sport. I'm still curious, you know, what type of athletes do you find yourself treating most often? You know, and maybe a little bit why, maybe a little bit into why is that?
Well, I think down in the training room, we have a full-time staff of three individuals. A lot of the athletes, some of the students will know Todd and Anna, along with myself. Todd and Anna are a lot more they're a lot more, you know, active in the weight room than me. I let myself get a little bit lazy at times. They do work out, so I think a lot of people might see them down there. So I think the non-athletes may recognize them a little bit more than they do me. Between the three of us, we try to split up so we can kind of schedule ourselves a little easier. We just kind of split up a little bit who we cover. We do try to make sure, you know, we are all aware of, you know, we all work with each sport individually, or we all work with everybody, but do kind of have our sports that we, you know, are going to be the primary working with. So for me, I primarily am with, in the fall, I'll be working with the football team. In the winter, a lot of times you can find me in the pool working with the swimmers. And also sometimes trying to catch up on some paperwork through the winter. And then a lot of times I'll be out in the spring with baseball, and I'll go out to rowing as much as I can for their events. But again, you know, we all kind of work with everybody. I try to make a goal to, you know, get out and, you know, work, if not work with every team throughout the season for games. You know, I'll get out and try to watch every game. And again, I'm a fan of sports. I love athletics. So I usually will try to make it out to as many games as possible for everybody. And then throughout the day, the three of us will just kind of, you know, if someone comes in, whoever's available, we'll work with them, you know, whichever athletes come in.
Is there thoughts of an expansion of a potential training room, maybe that next, you know, badminton court?
We'll request it every year. we would love to. I think, you know, we do have, comparatively to the other schools in the conference, we do have a pretty good facility.
Right. I know Whitworth might be one of the bigger ones in the
Whitworth BC. Does, and they have a program which kind of helps. They get some academic money to help with that facility. You know, we'd always like it. You know, we always have our dreams, you know, getting brand new facilities. We don't know, you know, when that will happen. We'd love to see it happen soon, but you know, we'll always ask for it. I think it'll be a little while before we get any kind of an expansion, but you know, we're always going to try to improve and do as much as we can, get you know, get the best for our student athletes that we can have and we can offer.
Awesome. That's Aaron Gunther, folks, the head athletic trainer here at Pacific Lutheran University. Aaron, thanks so much for taking time out of your Friday to come in the studio and chat with us. Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to interview a member of the PLU football team. Find out who that is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Sports Radio, 2.5 Athletes. Folks, we have the pleasure of interviewing Heine, who's a member of the PLU football team. Heine, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Heine, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're from San Diego, California. I see you got the Padres hat on right now.
I always got to represent San Diego. I was born in Albania, moved here when I was like three. Due to some conflicts back home, moved to San Diego, played football in high school, now came here.
So what brought you to PLU?
What brought me to PLU was definitely the football.
Yeah.
I had a friend on the team named Mark Gallant, and we had mutual friends, and he told me how his friend Mark was having a bunch of fun at PLU, looked up the school, saw the tradition, and I was like, I got to give this place a shot. Came on my recruitment trip. The guys were awesome. And I'm in love with the place now.
That's awesome. My gosh.
So you were teammates with Mark Gallant?
No. One of his friends back home was mutual friends with me.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
That's how I knew of the school.
Wow, I never knew that. That's really cool. That's a cool little side note. Heine, what's the best part about living in the dorms? Pre-show, you talked about you live in Tingelstad, your roommate Shay Carroll. What's the coolest poster you have in your dorm room? And what's the best part about living in the dorms?
Well, the coolest poster, I have no Chargers posters in there, but the coolest poster is definitely Shay's poster of Cam Chancellor with the ball in the air in the Super Bowl 49 mm-hmm. or 48 against the Broncos after he made Demaryius Thomas fumble, has the ball up in the air.
Oh, man.
That's Thomas
crazy.
Is on the ground. And what I love most about T-Stat and living in there is definitely whenever I'm bored, I can just go up on the elevator, go in any of the football players' rooms, and just hang out. And I'll always have someone to talk to or play video games with.
What floor do you live on?
I'm on third.
Okay.
So I got a couple football players on the team, and I'll play Madden with them, do homework, study. Then there's every floor, there's always people.
Before you get to your next question, when I was a sophomore, I lived on the sixth floor in Tingelstad, and the whole floor was football players. I mean, it was so cool. Every single door was a football player. And so to be able to have that camaraderie, especially when you're a freshman, sophomore, still kind of getting used to the school, still kind of getting used to homework, to be able to go to your buddy's room and play Xbox or, you know, PS4, or whatever it may be, watch a movie, stuff like that. So that's awesome to hear that you guys are continuing that tradition there in Tingelstad.
It sounds like you really appreciate, you know, kind of the brotherhood that is POU football. You want to talk a little bit more about that? What makes being able to hang out and be good friends possible?
Oh, it's awesome. Like I've before football started, like before breakaway first days, I didn't have any friends really because I didn't know anyone, so I was just sitting in my room because Shay was the second waiver, so I had no one in my room. Breakaway started, I met more people, and now it's just like I'll just be walking around campus, I'll see someone, and I'll just be talking to them for 5 minutes, like mm-hmm. I talk to Reggie, who was a senior. I'll talk to him about League of Legends. Never thought I was going to be talking about that. I'll talk to Isaiah Watkin, sophomore, about haircuts. He gives me haircuts for free.
I heard he's pretty good. He might be in competition with your girlfriend there.
Oh, free haircuts. Well, I don't think she could beat free haircuts.
Not free haircuts. I got to give him my laundry card. I got to give him my PLU card to do laundry.
That seems like a fair trade.
That's a good trade-off. Yeah. I like that. So now, Heine, you played on what they call at PLU the bomber team, basically the scout team, you know, for most high schools or, you know, most college teams. Number one, obviously, the bomber team at PLU is very different than any other team in the country with how much fun you have and stuff like that. But do you believe that you were a better football player because of it?
Oh, yeah. At first, I was discouraged that I was on the bomber team just because I didn't have the whole idea of the scout team and how important it was at PLU. And then I started realizing I actually started having fun. I was going against the top athletes at the school on offense. I was covering Justin Lim one play, and then I would have to get off blocks from Cody Erpelding or Lucas Haddon. Then I had to cover DJ Winter. Then I had to read the eyes of John Schaub, read the eyes of Cole Chandler. It was awesome. I was definitely got way better. I had reps. I had so many reps during practice. And by the end of the year, I got way better.
Yeah. And it's too bad because, sorry to cut you out there, Christian, but it's too bad because, you know, we used to, about 10 years ago, you were able to redshirt as a Bomber. And so this year, not necessarily saying that it was a waste, because I don't think you would say this year is a waste but you could redshirt and you'd still have 4 years. Now you have to redshirt because of an injury. You can't redshirt just because you want to. So they made that rule about 8 or 9 years ago, which is too bad, but that's great stuff there.
It's very interesting. Credit to Coach Westring, the Bomber squad sounds so much cooler than the scout team.
Yes.
That's a fantastic
and my aunt, you know, who's basically the head Bomber coach, makes them cookies every Wednesday.
Yeah,
man, there are benefits to being on this Bomber squad.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And like you said, going against the best players, I'm sure for the spring, April 8th, once we start, you know, we're going to be able to see a difference in you, Hina, which is so exciting.
Yeah, I saw a difference in myself towards the end of the year. Like, I was getting better with my moves. And, like, it's all thanks to the going against the top players on the offense every day, and they would help me and they wanted me to go my hardest, and it was really great competition.
That's fantastic. So what positions do you play on that Bomber squad?
I'd play anything.
I went from
playing corner sometimes to playing defensive end. The only position I didn't play was a nose tackle. And I'd play anything, wherever they wanted me. It was awesome. I would just watch film on the other team's defense, and I'll be ready by the week. And I played anything but nose tackle.
That's is it tough to transition from one to the other? Does it make you better to be able to play all of those spots? Like, how do you feel about playing everywhere and anywhere?
It got me. I'm a linebacker now, so when I was playing corner, it's kind of helping. It kind of helped me with the movement of my hips and it just gave me a broader vision of how to play defense, and like I knew other people's positions and knew how to play them better because I was actually doing them.
Oh man, that's so exciting! And because you came in as a defensive back, right? And then you switched to linebacker.
Yeah.
And that's so cool because I feel like some guys come in, Christian, and they're just very frustrated with, you know, having you know, they have that tunnel vision, they have their mindset on that one position, Hina. So it's so cool to see that you've kind of, you know, swallowed that pill of humility and said, hey, you know what? Whatever's best for the team, I'll play that position. Because I know that's a hard thing to do. So that's really cool to hear. Obviously, this season was very rough, you know, for the PLU football team. In the world's eyes, you look at it 2-7. You know, Christian and I were basically at every single game. We were so close to being, you know, 6-3, 5-4, however you want to say it. But we weren't. You know, we got to face it. We were 2-7. What are your expectations for this PLU football team come, you know, this fall, 2016. I see you in the weight room from time to time. You see myself. I mean, I see a lot of our guys in there. Challenges every Tuesday, Thursday. I think, you know, and we have a lot of pressure on us, if you think about it. We got some pressure on us. We haven't had that worst of a record since 1944. So we have that pressure to say, you know what, not this time. It's on our watch. We want to change the culture of this program. We don't want to have another season like it was. I mean, what are your expectations for this team coming this fall?
I think the expectations have to be, we have to be better. And we have a bunch of returners. The freshmen, including myself, are starting to get it. And at 7-ons, you can start seeing like how much better we've gotten. We know what it takes to be a PLU Lou football player. And we're starting to embrace Emol better as freshmen.
And it's hard to embrace. I mean, I've been around this program my whole life, and it really is hard. I mean, it's something that some guys don't learn till their senior year, you know. And on the banquet, they say, oh, my gosh, you know, my dad. But Scott, I get it now. I get it, you know. And some guys just learn it at different points. So continue.
Yeah, and we're holding each other accountable. We have everyone at TSTAD has a floor monitor to make sure – they're knocking on everyone's doors who's a football player to make sure they're up in the morning. The numbers were great. 7-on-7s were challenging each other. I see everyone in the weight room. We're having a bunch of fun in the weight room, but we're pushing each other. We're challenging ourselves to change. And we're just becoming a better football team. and the brotherhood's getting better. Like, we had bowling on Wednesday night.
What did you guys dress up as? What did the
The linebackers dressed up as all white. So all white, it's pretty basic, but it was easy.
Basic white girl, right?
Yeah. And your dad actually said it was the biggest turnout we've had in a while.
It was 61 guys. We had Christian in that bowling, Paradise Bowling Alley right across the street.
That's fantastic.
And it was a great time. Everyone's getting along with each other. And I really think next year is going to be really awesome year, both on the football field and off for us.
Where do you think the team needs to get better to improve from that 2-7 record? I mean,
specific areas.
Yeah. Where do you think?
To be honest, I think it's a mental mistakes. Mm. And we'll see. We'll watch film, especially on defense. And Mac will show us if we just did this one thing, everyone, like if we contained outside on this play, that we would have made the tackle for 1 yard loss. But instead, the guy got a first down. And it's just like the little things. We got to fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the second half of Linfield, I feel like the team finally got rid of the mental mistakes and just played free. And it really showed on the football field.
Yeah, don't you wish we had a 10th game?
If we had a 10th game, it would be awesome because... Yeah. We had rust in the beginning of the year, and then every game we got better at something, but we didn't get as good as we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half of Linfield, which was our last game of the year, I feel like the whole team just played as best as they could.
Mm-hmm.
No mental mistakes and played free.
Didn't care about the scoreboard,
didn't
stuff
care
like that.
Whatsoever. And you could definitely see those players playing as hard as you can. And as your father would say, like, look at those Lutes playing.
Yeah, look at those suckers play. Yeah, and I mean, it was so cool, Christian, because in our first meeting, it was back in, late February, I think it was our first kind of meeting where we collaborated together as a team, you know, since the off season. And basically, the last team meeting that they had in the season, they had, you know, talked about that last game against Linfield. They had written quotes down about why we played like we did. And when we got there, you know, my dad and I think my aunt had worked together, and they basically printed every single quote that we had said about why we play like we did off. So we got to come there, we got to read what we said, and it was just so cool. And a lot of guys put them in their rooms. I got that right on my front door just to remember why did we play like we did. And that was a great game hanging in the off season. So, Heine, you hit it right there in the head. But I wish we could have played another game, but
awesome,
we'll have to wait against Kalaloo there. So thank you so much for being here, Heine. We really appreciate it. Folks, we wish we had a live stream because we got a little present for Heine today. I know how much of a fan you are of Colin Coward, and so Heine, I wanted to give you his book. Wanted to lend it to you so you can read that. It's a great book. It's called Raw. It's on the New York Times bestseller. Colin Coward, a great radio broadcaster. So, Heine, I think you'll really enjoy that, man.
Thanks. Thanks for giving this to me.
No problem,
buddy. I love Colin Coward.
No problem. Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go over some results from the PLU Open Track Meet that took place on campus this past weekend. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is brought to you by Mass Media on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call in, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, give us a call at 253-535-7332. Gosh, it's been a great show. Aaron Gunther, head athletic trainer we had in, just had Heine, PLU football player, in. But now we're going to take some time to talk about track and field, folks, here at Pacific Lutheran University. PLU hosted a track meet this past weekend and competed against schools such as Central Washington, Green River Community College, and Trinity Lutheran. Christian, who are some of our top finishers from the weekend?
It looked like, you know, the toughest part about being a Lute last weekend on the track was the weather.
Right.
It was a tough weather day, but our athletes powered through it. Brad Hodgkinson began the day with a first-place performance in the men's 10,000, posting a time of 31:59. So for 31 minutes, he was out there running around, which is impressive to me. There's no way I'd be able to do it. I mean, I think we talked about it last weekend. We got to be chasing the ball. We got to be trying to tackle someone. We got to be trying to score.
And that carrot that dangles is the finish line, but it's so far away.
I know. You know? That's just, it's incredible how he's able to do that. Moving on to other, you know, elements of track, PLU dominated the sprints throughout the day, Richard Johnson won the men's 100 meter with a time of 10.82. Carson Ketter came in second place with a 10.96, so there's a 1-2 finish right there. Garrett Hittner picked up the win in the 200 with a time of 22.07, followed by Ketter again with a 22.21, and Johnson finished with a 22.44. Johnson and Ketter also contributed to the win in the 4x100 relay, teaming with Sean Bradley and Brady Daly for a time of 43.23. So they're really flying around that track.
No question.
Hittner and Bradley also placed well in the 400, with Hittner taking second with a time of 51.94, and Bradley placing third with a time of 52 seconds.
You know, and it's so fun. I mean, I'm not a big track guy, Christian. You know, I tried to run track my senior year of high school, and third week pulled my hamstring because I wasn't used to that much running. But seeing all those names that you just mentioned, I mean, they've all played football before.
That's what I was thinking while I was saying that.
Right. These so are it's all fun that, names. You know, and Heine's folks, he's still here in studio. Like we said, we don't have a live stream. He's not hooked up to a mic right now, but I'm sure he can attest to this, that it's so cool when you see football players that run track. And all four of those guys have played football at PLU or are still on the team. I mean, it's just amazing. And I think it's going to make, especially Carson Ketter, you know, he'll be coming back, as well as Brady Daly. I mean, they're going to be going into their senior and junior year campaigns, and they're going to be better athletes because of it.
Yeah, you always hear trainers like Aaron Gunther and you know, coaches talk about being bigger, faster, and stronger. And I think that, you know, being a track and field athlete kind of plays into that of being bigger, faster, and stronger. It gives you another avenue to practice being faster.
You can never be fast enough, right?
Yeah, yep. Moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about the field events. Dominique Jackson won two events for the women with the discus and the hammer throw. She placed first in both of those. She threw discus 116 feet 3 inches, and the hammer throw landed 139 feet 5 inches away from where she was standing, so quite the heaves right there. Shireen Stovall and Annie Winthrop finished second and third behind Jackson and discus. So that's a great team day for the PLU throwers.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I can imagine how hard it is to be a thrower, especially with the weather, especially being a thrower in Washington. I mean, like you said, there's going to be rain. There's going to be wind. Talked a little bit about last week being mentally tough in baseball. You got to be mentally tough as a thrower, especially yeah. with those conditions. And I think Saturday, can't quite, you know, really put a finger on it, but I think it was a pretty nice day. Talking to Brady Daly, who's one of my roommates who I live with, he said it was a, you know, pretty nice day weather-wise. So what a great day for the throwers.
Yep. It's moving on to other sports. Maddie Bernard picked up an event win in the 100-meter hurdles, posting a time of 16.68. Bernard added a second-place finish in the long jump, jumping 16 feet and 7 and a fourth inch. And a third place showing in the triple jump with a jump of 34 feet, 5.5 inches. Kayla Bach tied for first in the high jump with a 4-foot, 8-inch jump. Maggie Watson finished first in the pole vault with a leap of 8 feet, 9 inches. That pole vault takes some bravery.
It does.
I've seen more videos of people failing
than succeeding. Exactly. No question.
That's quite the talent there. Amanda Wilson finished second in the 400 with a time of 1:01. Mackenzie Volger took second in the 800 with a time of 2:28. So a lot of ladies right there doing pretty good things on the track.
Right. I worked actually at the original Pancake House with Mackenzie, who used to be a server there. And Mackenzie just said how hard it is to be a track athlete. I mean, I see these numbers that you're reading, Christian. I don't even know what they mean. I mean, this is just amazing that, I mean, these are big time athletes. And, you know, like I said, they're student athletes at Pacific Lutheran University here. And so, I mean, just the athletic ability that they do. I mean, there's so many different things you can do in track and field, and all of it really astounds me.
One of the interesting dynamics, I think, of track is that it's an individual sport. However, you're on a team.
Right, exactly. You're not playing golf. You're not playing tennis. It's not just you. It's you, but there's others. And so, you know, you can't only rely on yourself.
You can to a certain extent, but you do have to realize, you know, if you're out of the running, say you're in fourth, and if you back off a little bit and get fifth at the finish line, well, that doesn't do any good for your team.
Exactly.
You got to be a teammate in the same way.
Especially
you got to push
in relays,
hard all the time.
That's obviously a total team effort.
Yep. All of the points, you know, at the end of the day combined, and you can win a track meet that way, which I just find it interesting, you know. Moving on to some more events, Bo Frohawk might be one of the best names at PLU right now.
That's pretty special.
Won the men's Steeplechase with a time of 10 minutes and 8 seconds, while Justin Evans took second in the 110 hurdles with a time of 16.79. Kyle Rapax, sorry Kyle, placed second in the 5,000 meter race with a time of 15.48. So another, you know, long while of running. Way to go, Kyle. The men's throwers saw numerous top three finishes for the Lutes, led by Lucas Hatton, second place marks in the discus with a throw of 134 feet, and shot put with a throw of 46 feet 2 inches. Eric Swartout, our buddy from the basketball team, placed second in the javelin with a throw of 194 feet and 6 inches. Also, Michael Haitlin taking third in javelin with a throw of 176 feet and 6 inches. Finally, Parker Truitt placed third in the shot put with a throw of 44 feet and 7 inches.
Just amazing to see those numbers, you know, Christian. And Parker Truitt, as well as Lucas Haddon, both play football, like you mentioned. Eric Swarthout, also a, you know, a two-sport athlete here at PLU playing basketball as well. So it's so fun to see these two-sport athletes, you know, succeed in other sports, not just their main sport. Because I feel like for a lot of these, they do track to get in shape for other sports. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are some athletes at PLU that just do track, you know, so not to take away from that. But it was so cool. Right before I walked into the studio, Christian, you know, I saw Parker walking out right down there by the steps, and they have their meet there at Lewis and Clark this weekend in Portland. So, and that's one of the best tracks actually in the Northwest Conference. A lot of athletes on the track team have told me that, so it'll be a fun weekend to see how they do and how they match up against the other teams that will be in Portland, folks.
It sounds like a lot of the team is doing well.
If they're not winning
events, they're all up in the top three
right
five.
Now Richard Johnson's number one in the country in the 100. So
that's impressive. Impressive.
And it's fun to say that we're friends with him.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
So, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go over Christian's Tough Deal of the Week. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.